right, here we go. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We are practicing social distancing while bringing the people together on the radio. You talk about an essential industry. I'd vote for this one, radio. Bringing it to you, folks. John Couch on the other side of the glass, and that's not because of CV. We've had that social distancing way before it was real popular. There's glass between the control room and where I am right now. We are broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on one of my favorite holidays, kind of a damper to all of this St. Patrick's Day today, Tuesday, March 17th, 2020, in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. And it is not only St. Patrick's Day, it is the presidential preference election by Arizona's Democratic Party. F.N. Rodriguez, the longtime Pima County recorder, is with us on the live line. F.N., how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing real well. How would you characterize how the CV is affecting this election?
Well, to be honest, Bill, most of the voters that are eligible for this election, which were the Democrat registered voters, received a ballot in the mail for this election, and a lot of them have already been returned. We've had 108,560 returned as of yesterday. That doesn't include what we picked up at the post office this morning, which will not be a large pickup, and whatever voters are dropping off at the polling location. So we're pushing about a 60% return rate. There is activity at the polling locations. And remember, this is only the third of the registered voters in this county and across the state that can actually participate. So they're moving along. I think everybody is being conscious of what's going on, but people want to participate, their civic duty. I've suggested that, my office, when we were doing early voting and emergency voting, it's standard office for decades in my office. We always had Clorox wipes, sanitizers, and things because we're a paper-pushing department.
Right.
We're all dealing that, and we had gloves. So, we were already well supplied. We just offered it more for people who could bring their own pens in if they didn't want to use the pens that we provided. If they wanted to wipe down the voting booth before they voted, we had Clorox wipes, so those are the things. And like I said, the Division of Elections was also prepared. I can't speak for them directly because I'm not responsible for that department. But, things are moving on. But all of us have to think about being social conscious about what we're doing. We all have to be cognizant. If you're sick, stay home. And if you're having a fever, stay home. A lot of people are not going to large gatherings, which they have done that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt people. There's no doubt financially, Bill. But, we have to think of the overall good of our community and of our country. And really, in fact, it's of the world.
Yeah.
Don't know what's going on. This thing is moving so fast. So, for those people that, will be displaced without getting a paycheck, we feel for them. And as a community, we all need to kind of like step up and take care of one another.
Now, the polls will be open till 7 o'clock tonight. Have there been a reduced number of places where people could drop off their ballot?
Yes. For this particular election, we always have a reduced amount of polling locations. So people should feel free to go to my website, recorder.pima.gov, click on polling location, type in your address, and it'll tell you where you're supposed to be going voting for this particular election. The service that we provide out there, if they don't have access to a computer, they can simply call our office at 724-4330, and one of my staff members will assist them on where they're going. We encourage people not to wait till 6:30 to start finding out or calling eligible for us. But that happens, Bill. They wait till the last minute. And, you got to deal with traffic and stuff to get to your right polling location. So they're not going to be where a lot of the polling locations are not where you're used to be going. So people shouldn't assume that.
Mm-hmm.
Notices and things of that. But like I said, we already had 108,000 people already vote ballots in, you know, signature checked, and moving on through the process.
Rodney asks a question of you on Facebook at Bill Buckmaster. Rodney asks, "How he says, please ask F.A.N., how about those of us that are wondering if our mail-in ballot really ever reached your office?"
Oh, well, that's another good question. That's another service available on my website, recorder.pima.gov, and click on ballot status. It will, you have to fill in your information. We ask you to make sure we know who you are. And it'll tell you when we received it, when we signature checked it, if we have a problem with your signature and you need to call our office.
Wow.
Send it over to elections for tabulation. So that's been out there for several years. So, again, just check ballot status, and you can follow us where it's gone. It's like watching where your FedEx package.
Okay, FN, give
no
me a...
No pictures, though. No, okay. We don't take pictures, though.
Give me a quick snapshot of where we are registration-wise, percentage-wise in Pima County, Democrats, Republicans, and those that independents or no party declared.
Okay. And that also information is also available on my website. I'm loading it up right now. Recorder.pima.gov.
Uh-huh.
This information is available 24/7. You're going to check voter registration totals. We upload every Monday to say, okay, what we did during the week. And we do still have some voter forms that we're keying up. Everybody's been busy. But right now we have 584,844 registered voters as of Monday.
Okay.
There are 236,907 registered Democrats. There's 171,165 Republicans. There are 4,353 Libertarians.
Hmm.
The Green Party in Pima County is still recognized in this county. They have 1,156. And others, which are either independents, party not designated, we lump them all, there's 171,263.
Hmm.
That big group that are on the permanent early voting list, we're going to ask, send them a notice coming down. They'll be late April, early May, saying, okay, for the primary, which political party ballot do you want us to mail you? And, Bill, I'm going to tell you right now, we have a lot of contested primary elections.
Right.
And you know, people need to pay attention because sometimes whoever wins that primary is going to be the elected official. So I think, you know, me, I've always, through all my life, always, at least when I've been in this office, even before I was doing voter registration drives, is that it's imperative that people pay attention and do their civic duty. Don't leave it for others. You know, somebody's going to get elected. So when I always used to make the comment, when the people lead, the leaders will follow. Because the
right.
leaders get elected are powerless unless the people put them in that position.
I wanted to point out those numbers. It sounds like the people who are now are the independents. Are really moving up, closing in on the traditional parties.
Well, yes, because you know, people that I had, you know, they said, "Well, I don't want to be associated because there's so much disagreement." Either you can talk about it at the local level, at the state level, at the national level, and I think the general public is feeling they just want the elected officials to do their job, quit the fighting, blaming the little snapshot. Who's going to get the credit for it? It's all about the credit. It's amazing to me. And just do the work that you were there for, you know?
Yeah.
As everybody knows, I'm retiring. I've been in this position 28. I'm still young enough that I can do other things. I can still physically and able to and feel good about doing that. And, you know, personally, some people are in their, not saying anything about age, but it's time for the people in their 40s and the 50s. To step up.
Yeah.
Get the evolution of change, yeah.
28 years, FN Rodriguez, stepping aside. Wow.
I've done my duty. I was in my 30s. I was young. You know, I had new ideas, new bright things, you know, changed a lot of things, modernized a lot of things, do it. But it's time for me to step aside and give others to, you know, to move forward and come up with their ideas of whatever they want to do. So, and also on our website is the point we have posted the demographics of how many the percent wise of registered voters. There's a lot of information in our name.
So okay.
People can also check if they're registered to vote. You know.
Yep.
Get in and we'll tell them this is the last address. Update. Be prepared. Citizens need to be prepared for elections.
All right, FN. We're gonna leave it there, but we'll talk with you certainly as we move into this election season and get over the virus and move on. Hopefully, everybody will be able to do that. Thanks, FN Rodriguez.
Yes. And likewise, and I wish everybody be safe. Think twice before you do something, and watch out for one another.
There you go, FN.
For elderly people that are housebound too.
That's a good point. Very good point. Thank you, FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder. 28 years she's retiring. She makes a good point. Please reach out to your neighbors, especially the elderly people. You know, we've been told, you know, shut in, don't go, you know, don't do anything. This is going to be a mental health crisis through this whole thing. You got to help out your neighbors here, folks. This is, you know, people are going to be feeling, people feel isolated anyway in this society, and now compound it with all of this going on. I'll tell you one thing that still can pick up bakery goods at Mona's Danish Bakery. There's no reason why anybody can't make a Mona's run. Home of the Danish Kringle, Mona's located northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve and his assistant Michael, my goodness, all those wonderful bakery goods. You can go in, grab your bakery goods, or you can still have lunch and you can have breakfast. They're open at 6:30 in the morning. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Also, additional support comes from Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And I just got word from Silver City. Let me see if I can pull that up here real quickly on my website. Their big event, the Blues Festival, which is over the Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people look forward to that. We always we talk about it. And the good news is it's still on for Memorial Day weekend. So, of course, things could change, as they say, but right now, the best place to go before you make your trip, 3-hour drive over to Southwest New Mexico, southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. They've been a great sponsor of ours. As folks know, we're very, very big into the tourism industry here at the Buckmaster Show. Tourism industry taking a huge hit. We're going to hear more about that from Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel at 12:30. But next up, what could be more timely than talking about the markets with Shelley Fishman right after this? As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
Welcome back. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 The Voice, where we are practicing social distancing while bringing people together on the radio. That's our kind of new theme here on the Buckmaster Show. And Shelley Fishman's practicing social distancing. Normally, Shelley seated across from me here in studio. He's at his home right now. Shelley, how are you?
I am well, Bill. How are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good so far. I think everybody, we wake up every morning, oh my gosh, I hope I don't have a sore throat. I hope maybe I feel a little warmer than usual, like I think a lot of other people have allergies. So I think what's happening is you've got the allergy season, the remainder of the cold and flu season, and now you have CV kind of all commingled, if you know what I'm talking about there, Shel.
Yeah, it's a tough time for everybody, both economically and just generally, the emotional tax that we're all paying and will continue to pay for a while is very difficult to measure, but it's very real.
What has the federal government done to lessen the economic damage from the virus pandemic?
Well, so far, the federal government has only done one thing, which was to pass about an $8 billion aid package, and that is aimed at helping the government with the amelioration of the virus itself. In other words, so-called flattening the curve. So the government is able now, with what has already been signed into effect, the government is able to spend money to help buy test kits, to help individual hospitals, and to a certain extent to help individuals who might not be able to afford the tests and sponsor that through the first bill. The second bill, which is working its way through Congress right now, is larger, and the president's administration today is offering an $850 billion stimulus that is aimed not so much at mitigating the effects of the virus and the health crisis, but dealing with the economic impacts of that health crisis.
President Trump has really been talking so much about the payroll tax holiday. Do you think that's enough? I mean, we need something big, don't we?
We have, and he's backed away from that okay. as of, I think, about noon today, Eastern time.
Oh.
He's been convinced, apparently, that that's not a good idea because it will work its way through the economy too slowly. I've always opposed it because I thought it was an excuse for Republicans to then turn around and say, look at the trouble the Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security funds are in. We need to cut back on those benefits. So I've been very suspicious of that kind of thing. And as you know, Bill, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but that is something we've heard very often. However, what we're now hearing from the administration is more of what Mitt Romney was proposing earlier in the week, which is a direct payment to families and to individuals that would come directly from the government. It would be a check or an automatic deposit into your account that could be spent instantly and could help families with bills that they might not be able to pay. The details of that are yet to be worked out. There's a lot of variables here. You know, should somebody who is making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year and continues to earn that, should they be getting $1,000 per family member? And should it kind of be tapered off at higher incomes? Should there be only one payment, or should this go on for a couple of months? Because, you know, $1,000 is a nice sum of money, but if you're renting an apartment in, let's say, Washington, D.C., or New York, or San Francisco, or Los Angeles, or even to a certain extent here in Tucson, $1,000 doesn't go very far.
Would that be tax-free?
Oh, gosh, I would assume. But that's a great question. I have no idea.
And there's another issue that's come up on the tax. It's not really an issue. It's an announcement that the tax deadline has been extended. I think I read that. Now it's been pushed back to July 15th.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
Mm-hmm.
For those people who do their own taxes, it's probably not a big issue. They
no.
do the taxes anyway. For those people who are dependent upon getting assistance, and I just can't get that assistance now because of social distancing, that's a really great idea. One of the things that we've got to keep in mind here, Bill, and it's awfully important, is that all of these things, and they're necessary, they need to be done. But all of these things will take what was already the largest deficits in our history and make them worse. So if we've got, let's say, about a $1 trillion worth of stimulus that is being proposed this year, we all already had $1 trillion worth of deficits this year, and we were already, in my opinion and in the opinion of lots of economists, headed into a mild recession anyway. Now the question isn't whether we're headed into a mild recession. The question really is, how bad is the recession going to be and how long will it last? And recessions feed on themselves, Bill, because when you have recessions, the tax bills go down, and so the revenue into the government becomes less and less. And so this deficit problem becomes more and more important over time if you believe that deficits are important. If you don't believe they're important because we can print money as much as we want to, and there has been a recent history where all these deficits have not created inflation, then if you believe in that new kind of voodoo economics, then you don't think it's a big issue. But the question there really is, how much money can you print before you start having an inflationary effect on the economy? And so, yes, we're going to be in a recession, don't know how deep, don't know for how long, and we don't know what the long-term effects of all of this stimulus will be on the long-term economy. But make no mistake about it, we've got to fix both the health effects of this virus very quickly, and we have to fix the economic effects as well.
The market, by the way, has been up today about 600 points,
yeah.
Just a really kind of a drop in the bucket, I guess. But we'll take it, certainly, about where we've been.
Well, You know, the market is normally a predictor of what's going to happen in the economy, but in this situation now, the market has changed. The market is now kind of a vote of confidence or no confidence in what our governments are doing to deal with the crisis. What we've seen is the market react almost, you know, instantly, and by that I mean within minutes of announcements coming out of Washington or in some cases out of state capitals. And what the market has been saying, certainly over the past 2 weeks, is you're not doing enough and you're not doing it fast enough. Now this morning, because of some of the stuff that the federal government has been announcing and pushing and talking about, the market has become less negative. And in fact, you know, up 600 or 700 points. Remember, we were down over 2,000 points yesterday. So the trajectory has been down, and that's been a vote of no confidence. I believe, in listening to the president twice today already, that he gets that. He's beginning to realize that the way he's been articulating the problem has not been sufficient, and we're beginning to see a change. I hope that change continues.
All right, Shelley, stay well, my friend. Thank you, sir.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Ama Douro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Time for our insider travel talk that we do each month here on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are ready to assist you in any way with all of your travel needs. There are three Southern Arizona offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. First stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan Hansen, how are you, sir?
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, it's been a whirlwind of events, as you can imagine, but everyone, not just travel, is being impacted by the global situation we're facing.
You know, Ryan, the only constant really in life is change, and I was reflecting 30 days ago, we were together at the Bon Voyage Travel Show, and the startling, when you look 30 days later, you look at what has happened to the travel and tourism industry in this country, Ryan Hansen, and it is startling.
Yeah, and you look at it's not unlike what the rest of the country and globe are facing. It started as just a very regional situation, very localized to the Asia market, to the China market. And cruise lines and land tour operators were responding with changes and updates that were really only the itineraries and trips that were in the immediate future in the Asia region. And as that ripple effect started to take place, it really started to increase. And now it really is worldwide. And we are standing in the gap for our clients to try to provide credible, up-to-date, up-to-the-minute information, not from a medical standpoint. We're still directing all of our clients, as we would anybody listening to this program that are our clients or not, to go to credible sources such as the CDC website, the State Department websites, to understand what is coming out, because now everyone seems to be in social media and online and quote-unquote expert and a breaker of news. So that's what we're trying to lean on our people, to look at those information outlets as the credible ones. And then as it's specifically related to travel planning, work with us, because we're going to have the most up-to-date information from the cruise lines, from those tour operators, which, Bill, to be frankly honest, are responding in a very consumer-friendly fashion. People that are currently booked, that have things that are being immediately postponed, things like cruises through the rest of April, as most, if not all, cruise lines are going to be ceasing operations if they have not already. All of those cruise lines are providing consumer-friendly options for postponement or for refunds, and they are doing a great job of trying to communicate that. And so it's the patience of the traveler to understand that the most immediate concerns are being addressed, much like the medical facility is telling all of the world, immediate concerns are being addressed. If you have something that's a checkup or can wait, please let the immediate concerns bubble to the top. But we are here to stand that gap, and we will be here because we feel that this is something that the world has its arms around and will solve. What the timeline is, not 100% sure, but we will be here when that cabin fever sets in, and we believe it will, to have that wanderlust reemerge and have people excited to travel again.
This is going to end, and people will want to travel again. And for many people, let's be honest about it. Honeymoons have been canceled. People have planned with bucket list trips for years to go to a particular destination, and they've seen those trips canceled. You know, folks are kind of shuttered. A lot of them are at home, and I'm sure this isn't going to stop people for dreaming of a special trip.
To be honest, it might actually encourage it. I can only imagine the books that will be read, the conversations around dinner tables that will actually be had amongst families that don't sit down for dinner, that will bring family units together, and it will encourage the wanderlust that I mentioned earlier, the excitement for getting back out and quote-unquote getting to life as normal. But I do want us talking about it.
I think is important for your listeners to know that that day will come, but we are exceptionally sensitive to the comfort levels and, more importantly, the health of all of our travelers that work with us. We are not trying to tell people it's, hey, go, travel now.
Right, right.
We're very sensitive to that, but do believe that the world will get their arms around this. And so if you are interested, many, as I said, if not all the cruise lines, hoteliers, and other land operators are affording you time to make decisions. So if you are thinking, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get something on the books for 2021.
Right.
And if the world is not at a place that I have a comfort level of traveling when I get to that decision time, and most cruise lines are providing you 48 hours before travel, or if it's next year, they'll give you 30 days before travel. So if financially you're not taking a hit by booking something or keeping a reservation on the books, there's no need to cancel. As long as you are at the comfort level of keeping it and then recognizing all those factors, such as there is a financial factor to it. I get it. People want to make sure that their money is safe and secured. But if it truly is and you lose no more money, why not keep something on the books so that when it does get resolved, if you feel comfortable for that date of travel when it gets here, you can go and experience all the joys. And it will be even that much more enriching after being on, quote unquote, you know, quarantine or lockdown status.
Let's talk quickly, Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. There have been a lot of questions about emergency medical care insurance for travelers. People wondering, I wonder if this is going to change kind of the way people look at whether or not they should buy travel insurance. Could you address that, please?
I'm happy to do that. And travel protection is not unlike other protections or insurances when you think about you are protecting yourself for an actual event that is unforeseen or a risk that you could not have predicted. So if you think of things like your home insurance, and if I am worried that the monsoons are going to be so bad this summer that I could have a leak at on my roof, I don't get paid by that insurance provider until I actually have a leak in my roof that causes damage. Mm-hmm. So that is the one misnomer in travel insurance discussions today, is the fear of the coronavirus impacting me and me getting sick does not allow me to collect on my insurance provider because I'm worried about getting sick. Mm-hmm. Now, if I go on that trip and I do get sick, that's when insurance kicks in. So the fear of something is not protected by almost all insurance carriers. There are some riders that insurance providers have outlined in the recent past. There are some travel protection services that have a cancel for any reason.
That is
policy.
Something. From a personal note, Ryan Hansen, and all the traveling, and people know I love to travel. Usually we take 3 trips a year. Every trip I have the full travel insurance. That's it's what they call, I believe, the gold standard. But I put in there cancel for any reason.
Yeah. So please, and our best recommendation, we are your advisor and your advocate. But when it comes to travel insurance, we are strongly advocates for the clients to talk directly to the providers that we work with, and we can direct you to the reputable ones. But when it comes to insurance, to your point, Bill, there are increased premiums for cancel for any reason.
Right.
And in this ever-changing world, please note that things like this maybe have been available in the past. It could change. That's the one thing we're starting to see, that if you have a policy with cancel for any reason now, the insurance providers will follow that. But in another day or 30 days, if the world continues to evolve, you may or may not have the option to take out a cancel for any reason policy in the future because the world is changing. But no, if you have one currently, you are protected by that provider.
All right, Ryan Hansen, before we wrap it up with you, and good information today, I really appreciate it, Rhino. What about the office with your travel advisors? What have you personally instituted at Bon Voyage Travel?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking. And for the health and wellness of our team, we are really instituting a reduced hours office policy And we're encouraging, if not mandating, at most levels, our staff go remotely because we have to protect the health and wellness of our team. So if you are a client of ours or you have questions, we have the technology and capability of working wherever we are, at home, in a home office, or in the office. If you want to talk to an advisor, our phone number at the receptionist desk is live and will continue to be so, 797-1110. You can also go to our website, bvtravel.com, for our office hours and to connect directly with one of our advisors, either by way of phone or email. And we trust that the community understands that the measure we're taking is for the health and wellness of our own team.
All right. Stay well, my friend, Ryan Hansen. Thank you, sir.
You too, Bill. Thanks
a lot. Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Hey, it is St. Patrick's Day. Let's talk about it next with our historian, Ken Scoville. And yes, there's a major connection between Tucson and the Emerald Isle next.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. A lot of people are certainly staying closer to home right now. There's nothing that's been said from the CDC about not going outside your home to enjoy fresh air in your backyard. And that means gardening is really, really picking up. People saying, well, I'll just stick around and I'll do some gardening. Well, that's where Green Things comes in. 3384 East River Road, my goodness, 50 years and still growing. And they have 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals, and all sorts of everything you need for the garden. The spring here, right now, perfect time to get some planting in. I'm sure, I can't guarantee it, but I'm sure the last freeze is probably in our rearview mirror for the year. But you never know. It's happened before up to April, but it's kind of doubtful. Anyway, greenthingsaz.com for more, and of course, Zocalo Village, zocalovillage.com. Kent Scoville is the Buckmaster Show historian. He's one of two dozen regular contributors to the program, and Ken joining us now on the live line. Ken, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you, too.
What's our connection to the Emerald Isle?
Well, I want to put a disclaimer up front. It's been 50 years ago since I took European history, so I've had to brush up a little bit. Okay. I went to the U of A and got a degree in history. But just to give people an overview, and I think when we talk about Hugo O'Connor, we can sort of personalize it to all of us. We never know what directions our life is going to go.
Right.
He was actually born in 1734 in the town of Dublin, which everybody is pretty familiar with. And he was in a fairly prestigious family of a senior branch of the O'Connor family. And he, like so many people, things and treaties get broken. And Irish Catholics were sort of being persecuted, even though there was a treaty that they were not supposed to do that. So Hugo wanted to escape. And like lots of young men, the military was the way to go. And so even though Irish Catholics were forbidden to join other European armies, O'Connor went to Spain because Spain was competing and essentially an enemy of England. And he had another cousin that was already in there who became his mentor.
Who was that, Alexander O'Reilly?
Yes, that was Alexander O'Reilly. And he was older than he was. And I think maybe this is a good time for people to sort of think about, we think about our bureaucracy today and all our different levels of government. Spain was a terrible bureaucracy. And if you didn't have somebody, especially in the military or any area, to sort of guide you through that bureaucracy and keep you moving forward, you just didn't go anywhere in bureaucracy.
So he had an inside connection, and then some action, I guess, didn't he? That 7 Years War and on and on.
Right, and again, Spain allowed certain people to go and fight with this because they were fighting against Prussia and England. So England keeps being predominant as far as the bad guy, depending on what side you're on. And so we got a lot of experience in that war and guidance. And then he moved up through the ranks because he was successful in what he accomplished.
And what he accomplished, he was pretty good at kind of laying out forts or presidios, wasn't he?
Right. After the 7 Years War, then he gets over to Mexico City. You can imagine the boat trip.
I don't want to think about that one.
I can't even fathom that. And then he sort of got in charge of establishing presidio sites. And this is when he got to get to know the Apaches very well. So he was out establishing presidios, which are forts. And they wanted to challenge the Apaches because they were their main, how should I say, obstructions to some of the things that Spain wanted to do at the time.
What did he like about Tucson?
Well, here's where things get going on. He's going through and evaluating, current presidios and maybe establishing a new one. And here he's in Tubac in 1775. And we already had a presidio site established. Hugo did not establish that one, but it was in disarray, conduct of the soldiers, all these things, and the Apaches were almost attacking at will. So he said, we've got to move farther north, and this is where Father Garces comes in. We already have a mission at the base of what was Black Mountain, which gave Tucson its name, what we now know today as A Mountain. So Garces sort of lobbied Hugo that, we already have this up here. We want you to establish this presidio site close to where we are on Black Mountain. Well, Hugo gets up there and he surveys the area and he says, I want to be on high ground. I like the fact that we've got ability to grow crops. We've got two natural springs, which used to be in that area, one by Black Mountain, one over by where El Minuto is today, if you're at all curious.
Uh-huh.
And so where the Museum of Art today was just the start of the high land. You visit the Museum of Art today and you look to the west, Paseo Redondo immediately drops down. That is the floodplain edge of the Santa Cruz River. So he picked the high ground, saw the Black Mountain Peak that he could signal back to the fort, and then he moves on. That was his job. It wasn't there to get established. The soldiers did not move up from Tubac until fall of 1776. So it took them a year to almost to get up here, and then, or a little bit more, and then it took them until 1783 to get to Adobe Walls.
So the Irishman moved, didn't spend that much time here, did he really?
No, but he had a prestigious position, and we essentially acknowledge that he founded the modern city of Tucson for European ventures, and all the other people that come in and move into the Presidio as it would change over Spanish times and territorial times. So essentially he became the founder establishing the site for what we think of as Tucson today, even though native people had lived along the corridor of the Santa Cruz for 4,000 years.
So he was born in 1734, Ken Scoville, and he came to town 1775. So he was like in his 40s when he did his work here in Tucson early.
Well, that gives you an idea. It isn't easy to move up in the military of Spain.
Yeah.
And you have to take these horrible assignments other places. You've got to prove yourself in battle, and you got to not get killed.
What happened to the man? Did he go back to Ireland to die, or do you know anything about that?
I've not done too much research, but I'm sure there's a few people on the phone that are scholars in this area. I can't even take a wild guess. I would sort of think he might have stayed in the New World, but I am not certain on that.
All right, Ken, and maybe perhaps we'll save this for your next visit with us next month about how, you know, everybody's talking about the pandemics and how what kind of place Tucson was during the so-called Spanish flu. Do you know how many people perished in the Tucson area there in the flu?
I did some research on that, and we do not have a really good number, other than the fact the most current research, some people at ASU are studying. Needless to say, with all of what's going on now, we think that 6,000 people died in Arizona. Now, if you figure Tucson was still the big city, a great percentage of that 6,000 probably would have been in Tucson. Also, thinking about 4,000 deaths probably in the Native American community.
Did they?
So in Arizona,
I was going to say, did they close schools and all that?
Oh, well, you know, we can talk about more of this next week. But one of the interesting things about history, human behavior and endeavor tends to replicate itself.
Yeah.
And we did all the same things in 1918 in Tucson and what we're doing across the country right now as we're doing today.
Maybe we'll pick up and go into this some more next month with your next visit. Ken Scoville, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Ken.
Sure. Talk to you later.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Ken Scoville, who is one of two dozen or so contributors. People were just so proud who have contributed this to the program on a regular basis. That's going to do it on the Buckmaster Show. I want to say thank you to John Couch, engineering and producing our program. And again, keep up your social distancing, but we're going to try to bring people together here on the radio. Boy, I tell you, as I said at the beginning of the program, is there not a more essential business right now than the radio business, trying to bring people accurate, factual information? Have a great afternoon. Stay well.